recorded from an undisclosed location, it's time for Gotta Say It, the only sports show that goes around the stats. Because, well, stats are boring.
I'm just going to be nasty right now. I'm sorry. I apologize to the rest of the world, so Mom, don't listen.
And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams. And
I like him, but here's the thing. He always seemed to me like somebody passed gas in his face.
Matt Ryan.
Well, we're waiting.
And welcome to Skypecast number 858,478,648 times pi.
This is episode 10 of GSI, our second episode on Skype. Welcome to the show.
Is this numbers? I see the numbers get in the way, man. I'm sorry. We should talk to our listeners. Hello. I'm Marvin Williams, and as always, I'm luckily enough to be joined by Mr. Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Orenthal, Gerard, Aretha Franklin, Ryan, the third and a half and a fifth.
Hello.
What you got?
Sorry. What you want? I even blew that. Anyway, there's a reason that I work in Skype casting, not in radio. So, this particular episode, we're going to discuss two leagues that couldn't be any more different: the NFL and the NHL. And maybe it's the letter in the middle, the B versus the H. I don't know, but. One thing we have to talk about this. Tebow is a Patriot. I'm talking about Tebow. He's a football player. He plays football, and when football players play football, they play football. And when they don't play football, they're not playing football. Next question. Here we go. Tim Tebow is now a Patriot. Means they're probably going to win four more Super Bowls, and he's going to be the starting quarterback, three of them. And then Tom Brady retire and come out of retirement and come play for the Jets. And Joe Namath will give up his number 12, and he'll get hurt the second game of the season. And then, I'm sorry, I kind of went kind of deep in my fantasy there, didn't I?
I was going to pull you out, but I was like, this is going to end up with Tom Brady and Brett Favre just standing together in some sort of field while the end of the stand kind of emulates itself into your fantasy. I've learned at this point when we've worked together to just let you suss it out, because it can either create really good radio or just explanation to the defense.
Totally. I mean, really, really. I mean, who's my favorite football team?
The New York Jetropolitans.
They have now officially made the list of those who shall not be named.
Oh, good Lord. What happened now?
They happen to themselves. Here's what's sort of good about the Patriots, that they can take someone like Tebow, as polarizing as he is, who I have now officially graduated from becoming a supporter of to a fan of. Yes, I said that. I didn't like the way he was treated in college. I didn't like the fact that college coaches colluded against him to keep him from winning a second Heisman Trophy, even a third Heisman Trophy. For those of you who might not know how that works, is the list goes out from the Heisman Committee, and the coaches and the people, the players who won the Heisman Trophy, they all get a vote, and you write down in order the names on the list that you think should win the Heisman Trophy in the order that you pick. What coaches from three different conferences did, we now know, is they contacted each other and said, do not put his name on there at all. Because even with last place votes, he had enough first place votes to win a second Heisman Trophy. Not being voted for at all, pretty much, he still came in second, but it basically kept him, a really good kid who did the right thing, from winning a second Heisman Trophy and sort of making history. Maybe that was a lot of jealousy, whatever. I don't care. It was grown men acting like children and really doing something just not cool. So from that moment on, I sort of was kind of always in his corner. Even when they brought him to my team, I was thinking to myself, okay, we can use him. He has a certain skill set that you don't really see every day in the NFL. Maybe they can work it out. And now it's not his fault that he came to my team, which they will now be called, with an offensive coordinator that was not ground and pound, but ground and stall. And nothing really happened, and the team was even more falling apart. And then, of course, they not only did they not help him, he basically devolved over the course of the year with my team. And now he's with a team that's going to find a way to make him a better player, as they tend to do with most of the cats that they get that are rejects from other teams. Now, the Patriots, or Pat Riots, are a mess. They have a player right now, a tight end, who's under investigation for murder. For those of you who might be following it, Aaron Hernandez is now officially being investigated for the murder of some young man. And, you know, we're not the kind of show to make fun of that, because there was a person who is now gone from this earth by some horrible event. And I've seen the enemy, and it is us, because all I've heard in the media are horrible jokes about, well, how will Bill Belichick handle this, and what does this mean for the Patriots moving forward? And I'm thinking to myself, someone's just lost a son, someone has just lost a cousin, a brother, a family, and we're going to make jokes about it, you know, just like with the Ray Lewis situation, Atlanta, just, and I'm thinking, what is wrong? Is this who we are now? I mean, is this who we're supposed to represent? You know,
we've become, I don't know if this is as a society, but as a community in the sports talk or sports community, we've become very jaded and very reactionary to tragedy or to bad things happening. Because over the past 17 years or so, we've been bombarded and with, starting from OJ all the way on down, with Ray Lewis, just things happening in sports where, at this point, we're coming from a place of anger. And it creates a very callous, very angry, very reactionary community.
Can I ask you something? And this might be completely out of place, and for our listeners who are used to us, know that we ramble like this on occasion. Do you think a lot of that anger and reactionary, sometimes inappropriate reactionary commentary are coming from a place of jealousy with the fact that, and just kind of hear me out with this, how many more writers do we have now? How many more people who have in the blogosphere? How many people have who write for the online mags and rags? How many people in charge of the Twitter accounts of these various teams and organizations? So we sort of have this sort of, to go back to our mass media class, this influx of citizen journalism within the sports community. And a lot of those cats that are doing that writing, some of them, you can kind of tell that they're coming from a place of jealousy in some cases. Place of I was never good enough to be a jock, but look at me now, I'm writing about professional sports, and these guys are this and these guys are that. And a lot of those guys have never experienced what it's like not only to be in a locker room, but be in a locker room as a reporter to sort of interact with these guys on a daily basis. So, you know, it's like they're writing from a distance. Many times I see articles and blogs where it's basically rehashing stuff that was put up by another writer or someone else. It's almost as if they're plagiarizing someone else's work and putting it in their own without giving credit, which is something we always try to do. We always try to give credit to the writers. Of, you know, whenever we read an article, that's great. We say, this person wrote it, here's what we saw it, and that's what you're supposed to do. But I see a lot of cats now who figure, well, you know, I'm writing for this particular online mag or this particular division of whatever, so I'm just going to say what I think is right or what I heard and present it like it's my idea. And do you think a lot of that sort of internet muscle writing that's going on is because of this sort of separation from the aspect of the original aspect that connected journalism and sports in the first place?
Yes and no. It's all about it, at the end of the day, your favorite phrase, it's about where we came in as members of the sports community.
Okay.
If you're a journalist and you're doing things rationally, you're following the quote unquote rules of sports journalism, and you're doing it from a competent place, then it's fine. But as you extrapolate the sports media world into the 87 different ways we can intake sports on television, let alone in the radio, in print, on the internet, there's going to be, and the same thing in news media, there's going to be a cacophony of voices, and the loudest ones get through, but they're usually not the right ones. And you have to pick and choose which ones you believe to not necessarily be correct, but to be concise. And
that's excellent point.
In sports radio, it's always been getting through the muck and mire to your original desired point. Because sports talk radio, and even now sports writing on the internet, is very reactionary. The fact that our news cycle doesn't stop.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. It is our news cycle is really short, and at the same time, it's almost oxymoronic. There's no real cycle. It's sort of like this 12-hour cycle that multiplied by the infinity, because it never really stops. Like, we sort of get this window of something, then all of a sudden there's something else, but there's no breath time in between. So you got all these weird overlapping ideas that sort of become one idea, and then the original ideas is long lost. That's a great point. And you know what? Perhaps that is indeed the case of where we become now as a society, you know, and I'm more than willing to say, you know what, I'm sort of missing the boat on this one, because I think with our listenership, the most intelligent listenership, sports listenership in the universe, as by numerous studies by Harvard and Columbia, or Harvard from Columbia, whichever one you remember, the idea of when I turn on sports talk radio or anything, I really want to hear sports. And what I found is I hear more politic, I hear more personal opinion without foundation. And what do I always tell you guys as students in my classroom? No one cares what you think, but everybody cares why you think what you think. Now, opinions and politics, whatever, that's fine. Opinion and sports, whatever, that's fine. But what gets missing are the people that we talk about. Bill Simmons a lot. You know, we talk about other people who we listen to who bring foundation and evidence to every conversation they have, and that makes me a brighter listener. Trent Dilfer is someone that I can listen talk about football all day. I can be in a hammock sipping on one of the great smoothies that my wife makes that is so amazingly awesome and keeping me healthy. And Trent Dilfer could be sitting playing a conga drum talking about the idea of reading a quarterback progression. And to me, it's as beautiful as hearing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. I mean, it is, because I feel so much smarter when he talks. And then you follow it up with somebody, and can I say this? I'm going to say it. Somebody who has the knowledge and information but chooses not to use it, just become this sort of blowhard, and that is somebody like Skip Bayless, who – he knows a lot about a lot of sports. He knows stats. He knows information. He knows history. He knows context. But I guess to be a rock star, he has to let it go and become this sort of loudmouth guy. And sometimes in the middle of that stuff, just to be the kid who's getting in trouble in class, it seems like, you forget that this guy really knows his stuff, because he's being so just generally antagonistic, because it doesn't cost him anything. Why? Because there'll be a new topic tomorrow, there'll be a new topic the day after that, and something else he can talk about, and because he gets ratings, he'll keep a job.
Pomposity is being commoditized in the sports business.
Excellent. Oh, my goodness, that's so beautiful. It is. Okay, we never call for anyone's jobs. Our listeners know that. And everyone has a place somewhere. But at a certain point, and maybe these people are the minority, and that's okay, because we will take them every day of the week. Whenever we get to the point where we feel like you and I are ranting, and we both have caught ourselves numerous times going on personal rants, realizing, wait a minute, that's not what our listeners want to hear. And in some cases they do, because they laugh at us a lot. But in reality is, we want to talk to our listener to make them a smarter listener, and hopefully get information from them to make us smarter presenters of information. So it appears to me, and that's why your statement is so beautiful, that the shock jock thing has now grown to shock journalism thing. You know, say the biggest, nastiest thing you can and see how many reactions you can get on Twitter, how many retweets you can claim, how many, you know, this, that, and the third, and whatever.
And there's a definitive difference, and I don't mean to cut you off, but there's a definitive difference for when you go on a rant or I go on a rant. They're not controlled. They're not rants that are, you know, preconceived. We're talking, we get onto a point, and one of us has to vent on it. With shows like First Take, and you know what? I don't call for anybody's job. There's a place for that in the media realm because people find it entertaining. It creates a reaction, which is what people want. People want to react to something. But you could see the arguments are crafted. They may not be word-for-word reenactments of something they write in the back, but you could see that there's bullet points to it, if not an ebb and flow to the arguments. And sometimes it could be their feelings 100%, or it could just be a work to get ratings up. Either way, they're doing their job effectively. Is that the job I want to do? No. Is that the job I want to see, you know, on my sports television? No. But there's some guy out there who is in their prime demographic that wants to hear and see this. It's synthesizing the original sports argument shows, like Mike and the Mad Dog, synthesizing the innate idea of argumentative conversation, building it, refining it, and turning it into this synthetic, homogenized commodity, and then turning it into this entire society.
Yeah, you know what? It's like reality TV. It's reality TV is not reality TV. We know this. We know those shows are scripted from Big Brother to I Love New York to whatever, because the people tell them how they should talk, when they should talk, how they should say something. And one of the good things that I miss about teaching mass media on a regular basis in the classroom is having students. The great thing about teaching in New York was having students who actually were on those shows. Like, some of them were on American Idol. Some of them were on I Love New York. Some of them were on what is the show with Flavor of Love. Shows like that. And to have them stand up and tell the students, here's what was going on behind that scene. The producer or the directors or whoever told me to say this particular way, because the first time I said it, real. So, you know, that's a great point. I guess that reality TV thing, we see that with being played out even on the sports landscape even larger. When you see like my favorite football team, it's like that's what they become to me. It's sort of a bad joke within a bad joke within a bad joke. And then when you were thinking of the one franchise that could totally avoid this, the New England Pat Riots, here they are. They have their one star tight end who's just now getting surgery. And a lot of people are saying, why so late? But for those of you who might not know, if I sign you to a contract, Matt, when you get your surgery is usually determined by your pay cycle during the year, whatever bonuses I owe you for being on a roster at a certain particular point, and, oh, by the way, how the insurance waivers lock out during the offseason. So if he would have gotten surgery 3 months ago, he might have had to find a way to pay for that. Waiting for when he did, even though it's right before the start of the season, and all of a sudden now the mandatory minicamps have started, getting it now, that means his insurance bonus, I'm sorry, his insurance waiver kicks in. And now the team has to pay for it. If you ever wonder why guys wait until certain points in their sports season when it seems like they're going to never recover and come back in time, that's a lot of what's going on, family. And so what the Pat Riots are doing is they are taking insurance they took out on his insurance. So that means they're not necessarily losing any money off his salary, which is now he's starting to collect his check now in about 2 weeks. And what does that mean? That means that the Pat Riots will not have Rod Gronkowski. Aaron Hernandez looks as though he's going to be in some serious legal issues this year that's going to completely probably hamper his ability to perform for the franchise. The owner of the team had his Super Bowl ring stolen by a Russian mob boss. The president of Russia.
Don't get us in the Kremlin. I'd like to live my remaining years not in a Russian prison.
They're not that bad. They have cable. And Tom Cruise, by the way, if you saw Mission Impossible 4.
I didn't.
You should. It's awesome. Great piece of French literature. And here they are now with, I'm going to say this, been lucky enough to see a lot of quarterbacks, saw Marino, saw Elway, saw Kelly. I'm not going to put Favre in this conversation because he's a little bit different, but saw Peyton Manning, experienced Peyton Manning, and saw Tom Brady. And I'm telling you right now, of those five guys, the Super Bowl rings aside, the two guys at the top of my list of who I'd want to hash stuff out on a daily basis would be Brady and Manning. No disrespect to Elway, because you know I love Elway. Elway was, you know, next to Johnny Unitas, Elway was my next guy probably. But here you have arguably one of the best, okay, let's just be generous about it, in the entire history of the NFL, both eras. Would you say Tom Brady is probably one of the top three quarterbacks?
Without a doubt.
Or easily in the top 10, for instance, maybe? Mm-hmm. Okay, here you have this guy as leader of your team, and you will not give him any weapons? Seriously, really? You know, I don't mean to be nasty, but it's sort of like, what's wrong with the NFL? And don't give me the salary cap thing, because NFL contracts are not worth the tissue paper that they're written on. So, and there are a lot of cats who would be willing to go and play in New England to get balls thrown to them from Tom Brady. Not saying that they're the right guys. Maybe they can't understand the offensive schemes. Maybe they can't deal with a quarterback like Brady or a quarterback like Manning even, because you have to be smart guys to work with those guys, because they see there's nothing – they're not going to get surprised.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that those guys can't discern in the 35 seconds of a play clock that you can ever do to say, oh, I tricked them. It's just not going to happen, because they work that hard and they are that astute, and that's what makes them so great. But my goodness gracious, I mean, for an organization, for those who might not know, in Boston, they are calling for Belichick's head. They've been calling for his head for a while now, because a lot of people are still embarrassed about the Spygate thing and the fact that he's not won a Super Bowl since that's come out. When he was winning Super Bowls and he was all surly and Mr. All Quiet and mealy-mouthed, it was cool. Now that he's not won, they call him a jerk. And the only person that's still getting any sort of reverence, but it's starting to wane, is Thomas Brady. And you know, once they turn on him, you know what the Boston fans are like. Come on. Once they turn on Tom Brady, that's it. No one is now safe. So what are we going to, you know, what are we going to do? When the one organization you thought was immune from all that stuff, they're now having those issues. But you know what they do have? They do have Tim Tebow.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, yeah, Tim Tebow. So. Thank you very much. So when we come back, I don't know what we covered in that last half of that, but we're going to talk about the NHL and how they're not like the NFL, or maybe we've got it wrong here on Gotta Say It and our Skype cast number
658-9042. And now a GSI Classic.
There are 164 Division I franchises. Teams. Shouldn't call them franchises because the players don't get paid. The players do not get paid. Wink, wink. You have the greatest regular season you could have, because every game matters.
Yeah.
You lose a game, you lose a shot at the national championship. And then their championship season, the bowl playoff season, all that stuff sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. The way they dictate who goes into the championship game was basically you had 8 chimpanzees of various size, 8 weight and height.
Mm-hmm. And Ron Paul.
They all sit in front of typewriters.
Sorry.
Listen to Musicology by Prince.
Backwards.
Yes. Defecate to the rhythm of the Congo drum. And whichever piece of paper they end up falling on ends up becoming the BCS title game.
That's who's in.
Everybody else goes in the Sugar Bowl.
Wait, versus Alabama. So. And we all went to the NHL in a little rowboat. Matthew, his 17 friends, me, and, well, I don't have any friends, so I got Matthew. So the last half we talked about the NFL and all these things that are wrong with it, from just from various teams and various organizations, how media sort of looks at everything and they crack jokes at it, but yet and still it makes so much, I won't say money, it just does so well within the sports stratosphere and everything else, regardless of if a player is involved with the murder or not. And then we go to the NHL, that's in the middle of an incredible Stanley Cup final. Boston Bruins are now up 2-1, correct?
They've played 12 periods of hockey in 3 games.
Yes. It is amazing what's going on with the NHL. And what's more amazing is, outside of Matthew, his 17 friends, and me, who else is really watching? I get it. The NBA Finals are going on right now. That's going to garner a lot of attention. Bad timing. And with the start of football minicamp, a lot of these teams have a lot more people at their mandatory minicamps than are going to these hockey games. Okay, I get that. Hockey is fun. If Bootsy Collins were commissioner of the NHL, the first thing he'd do is he would make every game available through the NHL website for free. Why would you do that? Because you want to get people watching. And so what? You don't make as much money on broadcasting rights, but you still make some duckies on advertising rights. That will help. But more importantly,
I'm sorry, but this just popped in my head, and we can talk about Bootsy Collins for a minute. Monday night, I'm sitting at work, and I have 3 TVs on at work. I changed the channel to NBC because I was like, oh, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals is on, should be on NBC4, our local NBC affiliate. Guess what was on my television?
What was on your television?
The Voice! I don't care if Guns N' Roses reunited, Metallica came on, and if Chopin, Bach, Beethoven, and Buddy Guy showed up and played 45 minutes of just unchained musical bliss. If you look at the first 2 games of the series, you put The Voice on another night. Game 1 had 3 overtimes. Game 2 had 1 overtime. And you had Tuukka Rask in Game 3 have the, one of the best goalie performances of all time. And you have Carson Daly and Usher on instead of the Stanley Cup, by God, Finals?
That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. You, your 17 friends, and me in a little rowboat. You have this great. Okay, don't forget that the conference finals themselves. Yes, Chicago swept, correct?
No. Pittsburgh only won 1 game, I believe, and Boston took the rest.
Right. Yeah, Pittsburgh won 1, Boston took the rest. Chicago beat L.A.
in 5, I think. 5 or 6.
But they were great games.
Yeah.
They're matches, and great matches now. That are doing what they're supposed to do. You're seeing defense. Boston has 5. For those who don't know hockey, when you're in a hockey team, in a 3-period game, you might see what, a total of 20 minutes if you're on the first line.
If anything,
you see 20 minutes, because when those catches and shifts are short, they're like a minute 30. Maybe a 2-minute shift in a time of dire need. But why the shift so short? Because those guys are skating like they're trying to win a gold medal in the Olympics for figure skating, going at the speed of a speed skater, hitting with the power of an NFL linebacker. And oh, by the way, they're chasing a little bitty black puck with a stick. You got all this going on. So those 2 minutes are the most intense anaerobic exercises you can ever probably put together. And it is beautiful. These guys are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". It's beautiful to see that stuff going on. And you're seeing some of the best of it. We're seeing some of the best of it right now. 2 original 6 teams.
First time since the 70s.
1979, right?
I believe so.
head up against each other, one on one, and it's like a forest falling in the forest, and no one's there to hear it. I mean, this is amazing. It's amazing hockey going on. I couldn't even find it on radio. I just want to hear it. Can I hear it? I'll come stand again, see it. I signed on. I got my Samsung pad out, and I signed on to the NBC's live sports thing. And I figured, you know what? Let me shell out a couple of bucks so I can get the premium thing or whatever, so I can watch it there. Guess what? They didn't have it there. I went on. I'm trying to find the NHL thing. I'm trying to find it, and I can't. You trying to find it, and you can't. You got stuck with Shakira, which is could be worse things.
There could be worse things, but when it's the Stanley, it's like the NBA in the 80s, early yes. 80s, when they yes. were tape delaying games on CBS and treating it like a third, fourth hand commodity. And they did this to themselves.
Yes.
Nothing's going on ABC right now.
Over and over again.
If
you can't sell it, give it away.
If David Stern was in charge of the NHL, this would not stand.
He'd
set 30 Rock on fire and get a ticket for loitering.
And doing that whole New Year's Day game in some baseball or football stadium thing, that gets you one set of viewership that you might not normally get. Doing that NBC Game of the Week thing might get you
Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon.
People are at the mall, or better yet, watching NASCAR, really. NASCAR gets it right. I have Sprint as my service. I get a thing for an app for the NASCAR mobile app. I can watch and listen to NASCAR on my phone. And only because of She Who Is Brilliant and Beautiful do I even pay attention to NASCAR, because she is a NASCAR super freak. Okay. If there was a NASCAR Heidi calendar, she'd be all 12 months plus the cover, and it would be what it is. And if it wasn't for her, I would not even watch guys sitting in cars driving around in a big, making left turns all day. But because of her, I really have gotten into NASCAR over the last years. But I can get NASCAR on my phone for free. And wait, I'm sorry. It's not as interesting as guys going at each other on ice, chasing a puck, trying to score a goal. These are cats driving in a circle. But I can get that. If the NHL, we're not going to edit that, did half of what NASCAR does. Can you imagine a viewership in the States?
It'd be ridiculous.
I love it. Whatever is wrong. I mean, and I will say it again. I know they're smart people. I know they're parts. And we'll never know what's really going on inside the NHL higher up administrative rooms. We'll never know. But come on, man. If it looks like a duck, if it smells like a duck, if it tastes like a duck, if it serves duck food, it's probably a duck. And this ain't right. It's just not working. The NBA finals are really good. They got really good last night. Now there's going to be a game 7. Do you think this upcoming Thursday, do you really think anybody is even now thinking about the NHL?
Game 4 is tonight. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my TV on.
Turn your TV on.
I'm in my office at home, and I can look at my TV and see what's on. Let's see what's on NBC tonight.
Boxes of briefs or just shorts?
Just shorts.
Just shorts, yeah. I might just go commando, I think. Be nice. See what's on.
Let's see what's on. I'm going to flip over to the NBC affiliate for New York City, which is Channel 4. And oh, the Stanley Cup Final is actually on tonight.
How about that?
On a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Going up against things like the American Baking Competition, MasterChef, The Middle, and Arrow on regular television.
Here in Atlanta right now, the Mets are handing the Braves their butts. Okay, they swept a day-night doubleheader yesterday, and the stadium was packed. You know, the Mets have some amazing pitching, Don't worry, I'm getting back to hockey. The Mets have some amazing pitching. The Harbinator, man, the guy's getting it done. I'm sorry. It's really good to see.
You know what would be nice? Hmm? Some offense.
Yeah, well, eventually.
And, the Mets just made a trade coming over the wire now. Colin McHugh, a pitcher for the Mets, has been I don't think he's a pitcher. But Colin McHugh has been traded to Colorado.
Okay.
For Eric Young Jr.
Oh, now I'm old. I played with his father.
Really?
Really, really. Now, and you know the story about Cecil Fielder being my hitting coach in the minor leagues and me actually getting a chance to hold Prince Fielder, which he's a big baby then, he's a big baby now. And so now it's official. Eric Young Jr. Wow. Okay, here we go. I remember that kid, too. The hat was always too big on his head running around. It's crazy.
Yeah. He's a career 261 hitter with 70 stolen bases in 313 games for the Rockies.
In the league that long?
Yep. He's 28.
Oh. Wow. Okay. There we go. Well, you know what? You got to get Manny because Manny just left his job in Taiwan.
He's going to Japan.
He left the Edo Rhinos.
Yeah, I think he's actually going to Japan. I think that's what the rumor is.
Wow. So his whole talk about being close to his family isn't exactly true.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if either way. You know what? Good for Manny.
Good for Manny. But here we go. Back to the NHL thing. Look, I mean, really. If you made available last night in Atlanta, day night doubleheader, Mets mopping up the Braves.
Barely.
The NBA Finals in Atlanta, still the overnight rating was a 52. Yes, I said
what?
It. 52. This is in the same town that couldn't sell out a World Series game.
It's the same team that can't sell out a Hawks game. A Hawks playoff game.
But the NBA rating, over 52% of the men aged 24 to 50 watch. And that was just in one demographic. It was a 52. It was 48s and 47s in other demographics, which means nearly half of Atlanta last night was watching the NBA Finals. You cannot tell me in all the great hockey towns, and by the way, they're still crushed that the Thrashers are gone because they might not have supported the Braves. They might barely support the Hawks, train fire, grease fire, but the Thrashers were loved here in Atlanta. People still wear their Thrashers gear. I think I told you that. People are still wearing and buying their Thrashers gear like those guys are still here, man.
If you can pick me up a light blue Thrashers jersey, because I have a birthday coming up.
Done.
Thank you.
So. We see this.
You know what we need to do?
We need to just take over the NHL.
We need to formulate a business plan. Formulate, because we did this several years ago, but
yep.
There's this thing in professional wrestling called armchair booking, and I think we need to armchair book the NHL.
I'm liking it.
Because we came up with the idea of – did we come up with the idea of the four conferences or did we do something similar to that, to what the NHL will be doing starting the next season?
No, we did. We did two models. We did the four conference model, then we did the two super conference model thing for them because we did it along the same time we sort of realigned
Major League Baseball.
And college football.
Mm-hmm. If you could find the dates to those episodes, I can cut them into this. I'll make it a nice mega episode.
We have to because this is just beyond nuts of how you can have this great finals going on at a time when people are – yes, I know people are watching LeBron. People are watching Duncan. I get that. But guess what? Most of the NHL audience is not the NBA audience. Okay, so the cast that you would get that would want to watch these guys are the same cast that I think that will like to watch perhaps the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay, so go after. Okay, yes, the hardcore sports addicts are going to watch everything. They, you know, they're going to have the game on TV. They're going to have something else on the phone, NASCAR on the laptop, and going to have another tablet with, you know, cricket from, you know, Uzbekistan going on. We don't count those crazies because that's us.
Yeah.
Those guys are in rowboats with you and me. We're not counting those cats. But come on, NHL, you got to get this right. You have this great finals going on right now, and to wrap it to put a bow on it, I think Boston's going to get it done again.
I want this to go seven so bad.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Game. There's nothing more exciting than Stanley Cup final hockey game seven overtime. It's game seven with like four overtimes. Just make it happen. Make it happen, Captain.
Because Boston has the horses to go, but Chicago, they just showed throughout this entire playoff series, because it's an entirely different season altogether, that they know how to pull out a victory. They can come back from the brink of destruction oh so many times, but much like the Heat in the NBA, you don't know how many times they can come back after a loss. The Heat are 7-0 after losses, but they only got one more shot at this, and the Bruins, if they take the next two, turn out the lights, the party's over. You could try again next year.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know, for those fans who might not understand, it is draining when you're behind in any sport. It is draining just to catch up. Forget take over lead. It is. I mean, you expend so much energy just to make up any sort of deficit that when you finally get caught up, sometimes you need that extra second, third win, or basically good calls from the refs to help you get to that next level. So it's going to be great to see, and we can't wait to see. And we're going to give our listeners an NHL special. We got to do that. We got to do that again. We got to do a realignment of the league, talk about the state of the league, and just go take over the NHL offices. Along with Mr. Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Orenthal, Ryan the third and a half and a fourth and a 15th. I'm Marvin Williams. You're listening to Gotta Say It, Skypecast number 648,758,495.
Number two.
Or number two.
Episode 10.
And please feel free, give us a tweet, Gotta Say It at Gotta Say It Radio. Give us an E at GottaSayItRadio@gmail.com. And let us know where you are, what you want to hear about. Trust me, we will get to it. We have a new system in place now. Matthew is doing an incredible job of getting us out there and getting us sounding professional, or at least getting us sounding. And yeah, well, you're doing a great job. I don't know about the other guy. So, that's me. Yeah. So, and you can always catch us at GottaSayItRadio.webs.com. New web address to come soon. And again, we thank you for checking us out. And remember, in Brooklyn and everywhere else in GSI Nation, we go hard. Let's get